Right now, we're speaking with Pam Heminger, the mayor of Chapel Hill, who just stopped by the studio. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. So, got a busy week. Obviously, we had a big town council meeting on Monday talking about Legion Road, which was just sort of popped up as an issue. It hasn't been an issue all year, and now all of a sudden.
Well, the concept plan came before the Community Design Commission and then the town council. Mm-hmm. So it was just a concept plan. So there's to get input from the public and the council to see if this concept that the developers and the Legionnaires are putting forward works. So we heard lots of different questions and concerns. And the Legion made an offer back to the town that we will take seriously and look at. They say that it's on for 30 days. We have the opportunity to come back to with an offer to purchase. So we will seriously consider that.
For $9 million now, right?
Well, we'll see what the offer is.
Okay.
We'll consider all of that. All going
all right.
in there. And then if the applicant chooses, no matter, I guess, take that part aside, because I don't know how that will shake out yet, because we have to meet and talk about that. Then the applicants can file an application, but there's been no application filed as of yet.
Okay. So the offer that the American Legion made to the town, is that something, I know you said you're going to seriously talk about it, is that something you're anticipating there's a good chance the town will take them up on that offer, or is that still very much down the road?
I think it's still very much a bigger conversation and what that looks like. I know there's a lot of community support behind that, but we need to see what that really looks like in terms of financing, in terms of land planning, and so we will be taking a serious look at it.
What were your thoughts about the proposal that, I'm blanking on the name of the developer, Woodfield, right, has on the table now?
About the $9 million for the...
About the concept plan that's out there right
so
now.
So most of the concerns were about that it wasn't truly an integrated use. There was too much sea of parking out there, that that the commercial space could be more, and that there could be some shared use of parking if we were to push the things together. I think some of the council members did like that they had moved some components around that better fit for the town with the floodwaters, but there may still don't feel like it's the I get the sense, because I was trying to do the summation of everybody, that we weren't quite there yet on this proposal.
Is it sort of back to the drawing board for significant revisions if they want to go that route, or would it be just little tweaks here and there?
I'm not sure with how they would take the comments
okay.
that they heard. There were some pretty diverse opinions on many issues. Overall traffic in that area with all the development coming into that side of town is a major concern, and we need to look at that as well. Not this project just in isolation, but what it does to the whole area. Mm-hmm. We've got some significant projects coming forward and that will increase traffic on all those roads, and what capacity are we now and what capacity do we have? So those will be part of the conversations.
Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and that was from Monday's meeting, so that was a few days ago. What else is going on in town?
Well, I was going to say we had a wonderful community service for the dedication of the gravestone on the predominantly African-American graveyard. It was a very touching ceremony. It was inspirational. There were a lot of young voices there. I thought it was a wonderful, I felt very honored to be there and part of it. It was a very wonderful event, and the stone is beautiful. If you haven't had a chance to go see it, please go see it, and the poem is lovely. What a way to honor George Moses Horton as well with his poem, It's There for All to See. So that's good. And we are going to continue on trying to find how we can identify the rest of the people buried there that we're not, we've got some information. We're going to be working on that some more, but a wonderful collaboration with the university folks too. Mm-hmm. So all in all, it was a wonderful service. I just came back from the Dia Day program.
Oh,
it was
right.
So
yeah, at
wonderful.
The Chapel Hill Public Library.
There's multiple. So over 430 students and faculty and staff participated and contributed more than 1,500 hours today. Mm-hmm. And then there was a service where Dia's father and brother spoke, and other community members who are involved with this and other students. And it was a lovely, lovely tribute and a wonderful celebration of life. And I say I'm constantly wonderfully amazed and heartfelt that our community and I think Americans in general can take such a tragic event and turn it into such a beacon of hope and commitment and community service.
And it's a reminder. And actually, we should go back and say what Dia Day is, because I was talking about that with Susan Brown yesterday. But Dia Day is, this is Dia Barakat, Yusur Abu Salah, and Razan Abu Salah, who are the three students that were killed in Finley Forest. And this is the dental school where Dia was, all of the students there putting together this event to do service projects for the community.
Because Dia and his wife believe firmly and give and sister-in-law believe firmly in service. We heard stories of service they did while they were dental students. Just a firm commitment that you should give back to the community. And in doing so, you make a better place. To quit just saying, woe is me for my life, but to give, to reach out and give back. And that's what the speeches were about today, about how his strong commitment to that has motivated other people to those commitments as well.
And it's just a nice reminder that, and I mean, I'm saying this as a member of the media, so I'm complicit in this too, like every journalist, but there's so much, especially this year, with the election taking the turns that it has, and obviously with what's been in the news recently with Tulsa and Charlotte and everything, there's so much fear and animosity and hatred and anger and mistrust that's in the news. And it's just such a nice reminder that there is always so much more love than there is fear in it. Good way to remember that.
Yesterday, and playing on that, yesterday we took a tour of the men's shelter and heard about all the wonderful programs going on there, talked with several of the residents there. And there's just a sense of hopefulness and kindness and ways that the town and the community are reaching out to help people get back on their feet, to have a productive, happy life. We've got more work to do, but what an incredible sense of community there, too, that we want people to succeed. We aren't going to forget about you. We're going to help you get back on your feet. We're not just going to give you a place to sleep. We're actually going to work with you with services. And then to have this was the men's shelters, to have the men who've gone through the phases and at the third phase turn around and give back to the men coming in and being mentors and helpers and helping people get on their feet again. It's a wonderful circle of hopeful.
This is the new shelter just off of Homestead, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What were some of the success stories that you heard?
People getting jobs, people coming in with skills already, but it just kind of lost their way, or people who have worked all their life with manual labor and now their bodies aren't able to do that anymore, and seeing opportunities to get retrained into something they can do. And cooking was one. They do some of their own cooking there. They have a coordinator and a chef there, but they help cook the meals. And the food is all donated from the community through the Interfaith Shelter, through tables, through porch, through donations. Those were some of the stories. Just hearing that people were eager. These guys were like, yeah, I get to go to the next level in a couple of weeks. I'm on the path. I get to go to the next level. When you get to the next level, you share a room with less people and have separate bathroom facilities.
That's a nice incentive, yeah.
But just that, hey, you know, the community does want me to succeed. The community's helping me get there was mostly the story. Not, I'm angry that I'm here. I'm hopeful that by being here, I can take better steps in the future.
And that infrastructure is in place now. Yeah. We've got not just a shelter where you can stay, but also the shelter in addition with programs that can help you get back on your feet.
Plus,
again,
there's a full clinic in there and dental service. And that helps with the women's shelter too. So for me, it was an opportunity to learn more about how we're doing it, because we get calls in the mayor's office all the time about where can I go, what can I do, and we were trying to better learn so that we can help others when they call us and help get them in the right direction. Then on a different note this week, the council was invited to a breakfast at the Frank yesterday morning, the art museum. What a wonderful, and it was a really great way to interact, hear what's going on with the Frank, hear what the plans are, hear about the outreach they've done in the community, share with them some other things we're thinking of. And truly, from the conferences I've been to and the information I've learned, there is so much more we can be doing with art in our community to inspire that creativity, to show that interest and spark that and want to come downtown and see and be a part of it. Visual, performing, all kinds of different, you know, audio arts, all kinds of things. But the outreach the Frank is doing was truly what was a great event to behold. They had a video that showed us the outreach with Corinne and other students.
Did you get to
around.
See the book that they'd put together?
The projects were just great. And so it's just not a place to go and look at art. It's a chance to be connected, and they need more volunteers. So if people want to volunteer, the volunteer hours they put in are amazing. So it was definitely a good vibe. And come on down. They're open to 8 p.m. and come check out the Frank.
I've emceed a couple of events for the Frank over the last couple of years, and it's a great program. The co-op, the artists working together to keep that space going. But it's not just a space for me to do art and hang it up on the wall.
No.
It's also this opportunity to do community outreach and get not just members of the community, but members of the community that just have never been reached out to before, to bring them in and say, hey, make art. We'll do this really cool, worthwhile thing. And then that reaches out to other people, and then they reach out to other people. And it's just this great pay it forward kind of thing. thing.
In the video, there was an autistic woman who has expressed herself very well. And what an incredible artist. I mean,
I think I've seen that video.
The beautiful
yeah,
art that
I know
she
what you're
do.
Talking about. Yep.
So an opportunity to express yourself when maybe some certain social ways don't work for you in another kind of way that lasts for a long time.
Yeah. And art therapy is just such an underrated and increasingly explored, but still, I think, unexplored avenue of therapy in general. So
yeah.
That's really cool,
yeah.
too.
No, it's good. So the group is taking off for Boulder on Sunday
with the inner city visit.
That's right. We have several council members going. I'm looking forward to great conversations. I've already met the mayor of Boulder and had some good conversations, so we're looking to collaborate on some more things. We're going specifically to see how Boulder handles certain things that we might be able to learn from to do better, tweak to make work for Chapel Hill. Parking's one of them. Art's one of them, the downtown. Transit's a big one. That's one of the reasons they picked it. And so I'm looking forward to those conversations. There'll be members from the university community going along, and members from the chamber, members from the community at large, some nonprofit. It's an opportunity to take a look at it from a community perspective versus just going to specific conference and learning how to do things.
I always love it. I'm disappointed that I'm not going to be able to go this year. I'll be there again in 2 years.
Okay.
I'm already lobbying Kristen Smith to make it Honolulu in 2 years.
Oh, I was going to say, wouldn't
that be great?
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Awesome.
That's very much like Chapel Hill. But Boulder's going to be...
Aaron.
It's got a university. Yeah. What more do you want?
They've got
They've got public transit. They've got an interstate that runs through. They've got restaurants and shops. And... you know, probably a housing and parking issue.
I'm not sure how their affordable housing works there. I've heard it's pretty tough.
And that's the thing with Boulder, too, right?
That's one of the
cautionary tale aspect of Boulder is that housing there is, what, $800,000 if you want to buy a house.
Median,
so we talk about housing in Chapel Hill. It's twice as much in Boulder. So
it's also an entrepreneurial city. And so that's another reason to take a look. So I think there's a lot to be learned from taking a look at how somewhere else does it. It doesn't mean you're going to do everything the way they did it. It means you get ideas that can work when you come back to your own town and take that perspective with you.
And I also love the getting to know another community and taking lessons from them and sort of what to do and sometimes what not to do. It's the networking that you get to do with people within the community. Like you get to know people that you probably should have known for years but for whatever reason hadn't made the connection with. And it's also one of the cool things about it is you learn something, you come back with ideas or thoughts about issues that you didn't even think that you were even going to be considering or discussing that just weren't even on the radar screen when you went there. When you come back 3 or 4 days later, that's the thing that you're thinking about more than anything
else. I agree with you completely. The conference I went to in Berkeley, I mean, art, it was just, it opened my eyes to some possibilities that we haven't considered here that were amazing and that people were responding to. And parking, they have a very different situation in Berkeley with their transit, but they're looking at the parking as well. And to hear from a national parking consultant about things you should do and that customer service is the key and making it easy to figure out where to go and how to go. But then I threw this in at our meeting on Monday night because we discussed parking. You throw in the concept that driverless cars are here and that they are going to be replacing cars in the future. What does that mean for building parking structures when you finance it over a 20 to 30 year rate and you have no need for that at 20 to 30 year rate? Mm-hmm. So you have to take a look at those things when you're making these decisions very carefully, because realistically you would then put your parking structures outside of town a little further because the car would go drive itself, drop you off, go drive over, park itself out, and then you could use those downtown spots for commercial spaces and people to live in.
It's a really tough thing trying to figure out transportation and parking, because you really do have to plan 20 or 30 years in advance. And what are the trends going to be in 30 years? Are driverless cars going to be the way of the future, or is it just going to be something we hear about now? And the same thing with electric cars and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, you've really got to anticipate these things, and it's so difficult.
You have to have it as part of your thought process. You know, I don't know. This group said it was coming in 10 years that we would be all transferring, and most of the mayors there said no, they thought it'd be a little further out than that. But realistically, there's a lot of safety concerns that are abated by having driverless cars and those computers in the cars.
The affordability concern, too. I know I'll probably be in the market for a new car in about that amount of time. And I bought a new car a few years ago. And if you had asked me 10 years ago, I would have said, oh, yeah, my next car is going to be a hybrid, no question. And then it came time to buy a car.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to buy a hybrid. but they're a little pricey. So maybe the next car is going to be a hybrid.
Well, I said the average age of the American car on the road today is 11 years. Mm-hmm. So that tells me people like to hang on to their cars.
Oh, yeah.
So the person buying their car 5 years from now that doesn't have, that can't afford the driverless car isn't gonna hang on to that car for a while. So they're not going to switch over just because the economics are here. But
this is, I watched the movie Secrets and Lies a while back. This is a random movie from the 90s. But the one scene that I remember is a sort of family clash. And there's two people getting together for a family reunion. And one of them is really excited because they got a new car. And some other member of the family is like, oh, what was wrong with the old one? And she looks at her and says, nothing. It's like, yep, those are the two kinds of people in the world. The people who will switch their car every 3 years versus the ones, and I'm one of them, who just runs their car absolutely into the ground.
Yeah, so my husband's truck is 16 years old, and the kid's car is 13 years old.
I think my dad's truck might be older than me.
Mine, I finally had to trade in. It was 12 years old, and the doors were starting to fall off.
Yep,
so mine's 2 years old now. But
all right.
No, I'm not looking to that driverless car just yet.
But soon. All right, we got to let you go. But Mayor Pam Heminger, thank you so much. And have a good time on the Boulder trip.
I'll be back here next Thursday, and I'll tell you how it went.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you, Aaron.